This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Now, Community Labor United for Postal Jobs and Services joined with postal workers to rally to save postal jobs and the services they provide. At this time, there is a plan to shut down 4,000 post offices, eliminate 223 mail processing centers nationwide, and end Saturday mail delivery, and fire 220,000 postal workers. In New York City alone, Postmaster General Donahue wants to eliminate 34 post offices.
But there is no fiscal crisis that warrants these cuts, which will destroy the post office system. There is, however, a congressionally manufactured crisis by its imposition of onerous and unnecessary financial mandates on the post office. And unless we stop Congress, the public postal system will be destroyed and Wall Street will swoop down and sell it to corporate vultures. Let's head to a rally to save our postal service and the workers' jobs.
Yeah, are we fired up?
Yeah.
We can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
We are ready
to
save our post offices.
Yeah.
Welcome Eleanor Bailey, who participated in the 1970s strike of the postal workers.
All right. This reminds me of 1970. Brothers and sisters, I think we need another 1970.
Whoa.
Listen, if you don't think I was scared with the letter carrier saying, Miss Bailey, we going on strike. But I went because I knew there was only one way to get things done for postal employees who had to go and beg for every damn dime they could get for salary. We did it. And we knew how it had to be done. Let's say, I have to tell you, I know New York led the fight. We went on strike because it was necessary. It was hard, it was scary, but it was done. So I thank all of everybody for supporting us for the 1970 strike. And if you don't get out there and do something about what the government is trying to do, that's Congress now. They are attempting to take so much away from you. Your Saturday mail delivery, your jobs. Remember, we have got to save the post office and postal employees. Yeah. Now I'd like to introduce to you a soldier. Who's been around a long time fighting. And I'm proud to be part of it, New York Metro Area Postal Union's president, Clarice Torrance.
It's off the backs of people like Eleanor and all of us who work every day that have made this company as great as it is. This was a job that nobody wanted until we said we can make something of this, and we did. If rich people think that we're going to roll over so that they can be wealthier, they are sadly mistaken. Postal managers admit it. They haven't even studied what effects the closing of post offices will do. They don't have a clue. They don't care. It's their intention to destroy this company and privatize it over our dead bodies.
Next up will be Charles Heege, president of Local 36 of the National Association of Letter Carriers.
Si se puede!
It is important to save postal jobs, to stop post offices from closing, and to stop mail processing plants from closing. March 17, 1970, my branch 36 held a meeting only a couple of blocks from here. 2,500 letter carriers voted to go on strike. In 1970, it was about wages and benefits. A family of four in a letter carrier craft of postal employees was eligible to receive food stamps in 1970. Their wages put them below the poverty line. Now today, 2012, The issue is the survival of the Postal Service. Postal management are hell-bent on destroying the Postal Service. Are we gonna let them?
No!
Are we gonna let them? Hell no! Now, besides postal management, members of Congress are also hell-bent on destroying the Postal Service. Now, one of their proposals is to eliminate Saturday delivery. Are we gonna let them do it? Hell no! Are we gonna let them do it? Hell no! Now listen to their logic for eliminating Saturday delivery. That's gonna eliminate 17% of the services that the Postal Service gives to the public. And all they're gonna save is 4% in costs. Are we gonna allow this?
No!
Does that make any sense to anyone?
No!
The Postal Service announced that the first quarter of their fiscal year, 2012, they had a $200 million profit. Hey! Now that profit came from people ordering merchandise online. That is has increased 7% from last quarter of last year. So there is money coming in. Now why that profit is not going to stand? Because we are mandated by Congress to prepay future retiree health benefits for the next 75 years and pay it within 10 years. No other federal agency, no other private company is required to do this. Now that equates to $5.5 billion a year that has to come out of the Postal Service budget to pay for that. Now this was mandated by Congress. Congress needs to get off their, you know what, and change this immediately. Are we gonna allow them to eliminate Saturday delivery?
Hell no!
Are we gonna allow them to do it?
No!
6-day delivery! 6-day delivery!
6-day delivery!
We have a leader of the Canadian National Union of Postal Workers, Mike Palachek. This is an international movement.
Sisters and brothers, I bring greetings of solidarity from 54,000 members of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. It's the same story in Canada. They're trying to cut back on postal services. They're trying to cut back on all public services, telling us we don't have money for health care. We don't have money for education. We don't have money for public services. We don't have money to keep post offices open.
That's right.
Back when the economic crisis hit, after years and years of them telling us there was no money for public services, in a matter of days, they conjured up hundreds of billions of dollars to hand over to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And now they have the gall to tell us there's no money to keep post offices open. I'll tell you, in 1970, when postal workers across this country struck, it shook the labor movement, it shook the governments, and it shook governments around this world. And I'll tell you, speaking as a Canadian, partially inspired by that movement in 1970, throughout the 70s and the 80s, there were a whole series of militant strikes of postal workers in Canada, where we won the right to free collective bargaining, we won the right to strike for the entire public sector, we won decent wages, we won maternity leave, we won all these things through illegal strikes, and we won them by being on the picket lines, not in the back rooms. There's a message that we need to send to the powers that be today. If you're going to continue to attack postal workers, then you're going to have another 1970 on your hands in this country.
Yeah.
Last spring, we heard the same thing from our government and from our post office. When they came to us and said, we can't afford your pensions anymore. We can't afford your benefits. They said, we can't afford to keep paying your wages. And they tried to gut our collective agreements. Well, 48,000 postal workers hit the picket lines in Canada and we shut down the post office. And we told them that you can bring in scabs to draw and deliver the mail, I suppose. You can bring in the cops to try and break up our picket lines. You can do all sorts of things, but the one thing you cannot do is deliver the mail and run Canada Post without the Canadian Union of Postal Workers.
Yeah!
So I'm going to leave you with a chant that we like to say up in Canada. I say union, you say power, union,
power.
Union,
power.
I say power, you say union, power,
union.
Power,
union.
I say union, you say power, union,
power.
Union,
power.
Union,
power.
Union,
power.
Union,
power.
Union,
power.
Solidarity.
They say call back.
We say fight back.
They say call back.
We say fight back.
Our next speaker is Rebecca L. King. She's vocalist, educator, known as Maz Rebecca, the storyteller. Please welcome her. Si se puede.
I am the spirit of Mary Fields. I was born in 1832, in slavery in Hickman County, Tennessee. When I gained my freedom after the Civil War, my life led me on many journeys, but the journey that I came to share with you today was the journey of 1895, when after I was fired as a foreman for the St. Peter's mission, after I shot somebody in self-defense when they didn't want to take orders from a black woman, I went to Cascade County, Montana. And there in 1895, they were looking for mail carrier, somebody to drive the stagecoach to carry the mail. Oh, I showed up. I was the only woman that showed up. But as you can see, I'm a big woman. I'm 6 feet tall, over 200 pounds. I ain't a scared of nobody, no man, no wild animal, and certainly no hard work. I got the job, hallelujah, because I was the fastest to hitch up them six horses to that stage. Oh, Montana was bad terrain, baby. Oh, it was cold, those blizzards, and there were times when the stage couldn't get through. Oh, but I would put that mail on my back, and me and my mule Moses, we would walk, walk, walk until we delivered the mail. We had a responsibility. We said we would deliver the mail, and we did. And until I was 70 years old, I was in my 60s then. But when I was 70 years old, I hadn't missed a day. I hadn't lost not one delivery. So I tell you today, you stand strong. You stand proud, and don't you let nobody push you down, push you down, push you down. Don't you let nobody close you down. You just keep on walking up, keep on talking, keep on shouting, keep on fighting, keep on voting to provide the postal services the people deserve. I am the spirit of stagecoach Mary Fields, the first African woman mail carrier for the United States Postal Service. Stay strong, brothers and sisters.
Gotcha. Wow. Well, thank you very much. Yeah.
Now is the time to listen to our youth. Then I see a lot of young people here. The next speaker is Victoria Pannell. She is the director of the National Action Network MOVE, Northern Regional Save Our Post Office Day, April 6th. Let's give him a warm welcome. Si se puede! Are we fired up?
Yeah.
Are we ready
yeah.
to save our post offices?
Yeah.
We refuse to let Congress pass the bill that states that 30
that means that 35,000 jobs will be lost. Are we ready to save our jobs?
Yes!
Seniors that get their prescriptions in the mail early on Saturdays, if Congress passes this bill, they won't be able to get their prescriptions sooner. It will be 3 days late. If you like movies and you watch Netflix, it'll be 3 days late coming into you. So are we ready to save our post offices?
Yes!
Do we refuse to let Congress pass this bill?
Yes!
Are we fired up?
Yes!
We can't take it anymore?
Yes!
We are ready!
Yes.
To save our post offices.
Yes.
They say cut back.
We say fight back.
They say cut back.
We say fight back.
I want to invite Tom Dodge, Baltimore postal worker and APWU member from Frederick, Maryland, where they're fighting to keep the bulk mail facility open. Tom Dodge.
Thank you very much. Actually, I'm from Baltimore. I'm kind of stuck in between Frederick that they already closed and the Easton that should have been closed in February. That's been postponed because of the moratorium that's on until May 15th. You've heard the unions call for the firing of the Postmaster General. He closed the Frederick mail facility down, and what do we have? The very first day mail was delayed. We had fire extinguishers blocked. We had fire exit doors blocked. The entire north side dock, the Baltimore mail sorting facility, is a whole city block square. That entire one north side dock was blocked with empty equipment. This is outrageous. It continued all through December. At one point, the building was so full of mail, there was no room left to put any more. We had to actually had to process mail and get it on a trailer to go out before we could unload another trailer. That's how jammed up it was. Clear through January, we had these problems. When does it stop? Last couple of weeks, we're still seeing certified mail, first class letters delayed 6 days. They've reverted a lot of this mail down to DC, down to Virginia to take the load off of Baltimore. So it has gotten better, but it's not over with. What happens when the next holiday comes up? You know, Christmas comes around again. What happens when they close 252 sorting facilities out of 460? The mail's gonna come to a complete standstill across the whole country. Nothing's gonna move. What happens to our customers? They're going to go to UPS, to FedEx. It's almost impossible to get them back once you lose them. We have to stop this right now. We can't let this go on. We've mounted a campaign starting 1 week ago to reopen Frederick. We have 50,000 petitions out there. We've had a protest and a press conference. We've had two town hall meetings. We're getting the public involved on this. That's the only way to win this fight is get the public involved and put pressure on the politicians to act. And a Congress that doesn't do anything in D.C. We just need the political will to do this, that's all. A simple thing, stop that overpayment into our retirement. That's all it takes. So let's get the job done. Let's send a message to D.C. that we've had enough. No more.
No more.
No more.
No more.
One more time so they can hear you in D.C. No more.
No more.
Next, we'd like to hear from a veteran and leader in the struggle, my brother Larry Holmes, who is the founder of the Occupy for Jobs movement and a leader of the Bail Out the People movement. Larry Holmes.
Yes! Everybody say hell no.
Hell no.
Hell no.
Hell no.
How many postal workers are here? Raise your hand. Oh. How many people from the community are here? You're a lot of people and you look like you represent a whole lot more people. The rich, greedy profiteers who thought it was going to be easy to privatize our mail services and fire tens, if not hundreds of thousands of postal workers. We got a message from them. We're going to mail it to them. We're just getting warmed up. We're just getting warmed up. You are not going to rob the post offices in our community, and you are not going to put tens of thousands of hardworking people on the unemployment line. There's too many damn people on the unemployment line already. Sisters and brothers, your struggle to save the post office and to save your jobs and to stop union busting and privatization, it's part of the larger struggle for jobs. This is a struggle that Martin Luther King dedicated the last months of his life to. A lot of people don't know about this. He had decided during the last year of his life, we won civil rights. We can go to the restaurant. We can go to the hotel. But we got to have a job, else we won't have no money to spend. And so he was going to open up a struggle for the right to a job. A right to a job means that for those of us who don't have jobs, jobs have to be created.
Yeah.
That's millions and millions of people.
That's right.
And it means for those of us who have jobs, those jobs have to be safe. There needs to be a moratorium on the layoff of postal workers.
Absolutely.
What Occupy Wall Street did reminds me of what Martin Luther King was thinking about. Because before he was shot down that terrible day in April, he was planning a mass occupation of Washington, D.C. for jobs. And I will just leave you with this thought, and it's something that I'm sure everybody's thinking about. Whose post offices are those? We want to tell Wall Street, we want to tell Goldman Sachs, all the bankers, we will not hesitate to occupy what is ours in order to keep it. And if you think Occupy Wall Street was something, you wait until we get ready. Do not mess with us. Close our post offices.
Yeah.
They say come back.
We say fight back.
They say come back.
We say fight back.
Do you all know where we're meeting on May Day? May 1st, do you know where we're gathering? Okay, it's Union Square, so I'm gonna ask, May 1st where? And you say, Union Square. May 1st where? Union Square, that's right, thank you very much. The next speaker here is Frank Coget. He's a shop steward, New York letter carrier, branch 36. Let's give it up for the post office workers. Si se puede!
As a union letter carrier, I've delivered mail here in Manhattan over the last 12 years. In that time, I've seen management cutbacks increase our workloads while cutting service standards to the bone. And over the last year, I've seen them cut the bone. I've seen postal buildings and equipment and conditions deteriorate. I've seen sisters and brothers injured and working in pain from the job's wear and tear on their bodies over the years. I've seen them afraid to confront a hostile bureaucracy for proper treatment. I've seen union sisters work pregnant until the day they give birth because there is no maternity leave for us to bond with our children. I've seen union brothers fired. I've seen new hires provided with fewer rights. I've seen all our craft unions lose members and many jobs cut. Yet in spite of all of this, we continue to deliver to serve our communities. We deliver social welfare checks, pensions, medicine, voting ballots, election notices, periodicals, passports, licenses, merchandise, movies, gifts, cards, and yes, taxes and bills too. We deliver to every resident, every address, in every city and town nearly every day. Last year, the fight against this manufactured crisis, we even delivered 1 million signatures to Congress, demanding that they act immediately to protect these essential jobs and services. And yet Congress only saw fit to postpone and delay fixing the mess that they made. In the meantime, last month, they cut the pension for new hires, anyone with 5 years or less in the federal employment retirement system. They've threatened our unions and they've held the entire service hostage. But as we can see today, I hope, our communities have risen up to defend themselves from these attacks. Last December, residents of 23 rural towns across Oregon occupied their post offices to save them from closure.
Yay!
That's right.
Si se puede!
Occupy. Occupy.
And last week, dozens of Frederick, Maryland residents and workers demonstrated against the months-long delay in mail, demanding the reopening of a nearby mail processing plant. Mail that was sent in December was delivered in February.
Wow.
We are rising. We're rising up all across the world as public services and workers are being forced to pay for the crimes of Washington and Wall Street. We're rising up everywhere to defend one another.
That's right.
To protect and expand public services.
That's right.
Expand the postal services.
That's
we should have free wire services so people can wire money back home without paying outrageous fees to Western Union.
That's right.
We should demand free political mail to contact our representatives in Congress.
Obviously.
If this is going to get done, we have to take matters into our own hands.
That's right.
And rise like lions from our slumber. An unvanquishable number. Shake the chains to the earth like dew, because we are many and they are few.
Yeah!
Solidarity!
Yeah! Yeah! Si se puede!
Si se puede!
Si se puede!
Si se puede!
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.